change when you sit with people. A lot of us have a lot of preconceptions about people. When you go to a new place, you're going to wonder, who am I going to meet? Do I know them? Do they know me? What do I know about them? What do they know about me? But things change when you begin to talk and sit with someone. If you don't have a church background, what we do may be a little different. I took a guy to church with me once when I was in college, and I went to a very radical Pentecostal church, and the preacher said, I want you to give God a praise that makes the devil mad. And he was doing good to that point, and he sat down. And after service, I said, bro, you sit down. When he said, give God a praise, he said, that dude been messing up people's lives for a long time. And I'm trying to do everything I can not to make him mad. I said, man, you got power over the enemy. So our terminology may be a little different. But when you sit with people, you learn a lot. And I want to invite you to come not only sit with the people beside you, but to sit with God. There's a seat designed with you with God that God wants to talk to you in a way that you have never imagined. And it's good to sit with people. This week, I think I saw Tukey and Antonio and Tree. They're sitting back there. They play basketball for MTSU. They got a new coach. And I had to go to, I went to an event to meet their coach. And I didn't know anybody there. And I was so uncertain and unsure. Some of you go in new crowds and it don't bother you. I didn't know who was going to be there, who I was going to talk to. I found the closest dude that I even halfway knew. And I stood by him for a while. Things feel different when you have someone to connect with. And I want to challenge you this morning to come have a fresh experience with God and with people. Whatever you thought of church, whatever you thought of God, I want you to open your mind and understanding to a completely different experience. Here's a phrase that I want to challenge you with. Nothing will change in your life until you change the way you see it. Nothing's going to change until you change the way you see it. Does anybody watch Ayanna Van Zant Fixing My Life? She was challenging this guy yesterday on the program. He's probably been on before. I watched a bunch of reruns. He was from Memphis. Anybody from Memphis? What's up, man? And he said, I was doing good till this guy lied on me. And she checked him in that moment. She said, every story that you tell, you paint yourself as the victim. Until you start painting yourself as the victim, nothing would change in life. And I want to challenge you to sit from the seat that God has placed you in. You are a victor, not a victim. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 is where I'm going to be in through verse 7. You can turn there with me in your Bible, your smartphone, or it's right here on the screen above me. If I can be honest with you guys, I was struggling on what I was going to preach. If you've been a church person your entire life, you know every Easter we put Jesus on the cross. He dies on Friday, and every Sunday gets up, what? All power in his hand. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? And you begin to celebrate. But I asked God, what do you want to say this year from the power of the cross and the resurrection? And he took me to the scripture and he said, Jason, I want you to tell people they've got a seat with me through Jesus. And I want them to see life through a different perspective because of what Jesus did. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says this, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. God is rich. Look at your neighbor and say, God's pockets are deep. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I know most of us in this room have committed some type of sin over the course of the last couple weeks. You don't have mercy unless you have sin, and God's mercy will never run out. I took my son and a couple of his little buddies on my wife and I did to hibachi, and we went out to eat, and five of them little guys sit there, and I thought they were going to order out the kids' menu. And the little buddy said, give me the filet mignon, and the other one said, give me the hibachi. I said, bro, you got money? It takes a lot of money to support these little kids these days. Am I right about it? Think about this. Think about how rich God is. You've sinned. People have been sinning for a long time, and God has not run out of mercy. Pockets are deep. He's got enough to cover all of us. Verse 5 says, even when we were dead in our transgressions, God made us alive together with Christ. We are alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and he raised us up with him and seated us. This is where I want to be. In him. Seated us with him. That's God. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. No, you're not in heaven right now. But you are seated in heavenly places, meaning you have access to everything that I'll make it work. We have access to everything that heaven has to offer to you in Jesus' name. I have privileges, the same privileges that Jesus had. I have them on the inside of me. I've been a long time and I didn't even realize it. I've been living. God speaks to me every day through everyday circumstances. Can you go to my next slide here? I want to show you how God speaks to me, and he shows me things from his perspective. You can switch my slide here. It's Easter, right? Somebody sent me a picture of this suit and said, Easter's coming to a sun church near you. If you're wearing that suit in here today, no offense. Here's the reality. I saw that suit, and God said this. He said, Jason, I bring the best out of people. He said, once I show them who they are, people will move heaven and earth. People, if you don't dress up but no time during the year for Easter, people who go to church, they're going to be clean. He said, I bring the best out of people. I was watching CNN one day, and I saw the horrific accident that happened at FIU where the bridge collapsed. Several people were killed. It was a tremendous thing. I think they were doing repairs on the bridge, and it was a horrific event. And I began in that moment to begin to pray for those people who passed and people who saw it. It takes a tremendous toll on you to see a tragedy like that. A couple days later, I was riding down the road, and the Lord was like, Jason, you remember that bridge? And I was like, yes, sir. It's a sad event. He said, Jason, I'm a bridge that will never collapse. He said, Jesus can bear the weight of your sin. He can bear the weight of your mistakes. He can bear the weight of everything that you'll ever have. He said, nobody can ever separate you from me because of what Jesus did. And I want to tell all of you in here, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. I don't care what mistakes you've made. I don't care what's happened in your life. You can't stop God from loving you. And you have access to God through Jesus. My last slide, the next picture is a little different. It bothers me when people dress up to the nines. And you look at their knuckles or their ankles and they ask you. Bothers me when you dress up and you didn't have enough to put that on your knuckles or your ankles. It's just me. Is it just me or has anybody else had the same problem? Well, God spoke to me through that moment. He said, Jason, let me see you, show you how I see it. In my head, I thought, boy, they need some Vaseline. He said, Jason, what's the slogan for Vaseline? What's the slogan for Vaseline? Let the healing began. He said, what you see is dry, what you see is cracked, and what you see is embarrassing is my opportunity to flood my healing and my restoration. Your life may be broken, your life may be dried up, your life may be cracked, but we serve a healer who's able to restore it in the name of Jesus. I want to show you how to see things from God's perspective today. You go to my next slide. Here's what I'm going to challenge you. My whole point of today was to get you to connect with God. I want to show you that you are closer to God than what you ever imagined. I want to show you that you know the voice of God and that God's been speaking to you. And if you are saved, you have a seat with him to talk to him every moment of your life. There were six events that happened in my life that were not the best events, but God used them for his glory. And I want to show you how God sees things. And at the end, I'm going to have you have some reflection time where you can tell your story. One of the first events where I learned the mercy of God, I grew up with a brother and sister. And I remember looking at my brother, and I remember looking at my brother in his casket. And he was dead, and I felt this, not only sad, but I felt this conviction, and I felt this condemnation. Because when I was about 10 and my brother was 8, my brother was bad. If there was something broke in the house, my brother did it. Y'all ever seen the movie Pootie Tang? Anybody ever seen Pootie Tang? You remember his daddy had that belt that just come out of nowhere? That was my mama. My mama was a master with that belt. Daddy would just talk to you, make you feel like you're this big. My mama was a whipping machine. And I was in Cub Scouts, and I had this car that we were going to fix. And daddy said, wait till we get home, Jason, and we're going to spray paint the car. I couldn't wait till daddy got home. So I did what every 10-year-old boy did. I took some red spray paint and I painted that car, but I forgot to put newspaper up under it. And I spray painted the carpet. And if you know anything about my mama, you don't play with her carpet. And I said, oh, a whipping's coming. Mama came home and she said, who messed up the carpet? I pointed at Jonathan. I said, he's the one that did it. Jonathan said, I didn't do it. He got in trouble all the time and he lied all the time, so it was easy for him. Mama went in the room and tore him up. I don't know if any of y'all got spankings growing up. You know the kind of spanking that you just go to sleep when you get finished? Man, that's some of the best rest you done. I mean, you just sleep. Jonathan looked at me with tears in his eyes. And boy, my stomach turned. And I never got a chance to apologize. And I never got a chance to tell my parents that I was the one that did it. So I'm doing it right now because they can't whip me. But God said, Jason, do you know how you felt when you blamed Jonathan for something he didn't do? He said, people have been doing me like that for years. He said, Jesus died on the cross. He didn't sin. He took your sin on the cross. That's what mercy did. He didn't do it. You did it. And he died for your sin. Anybody thank God for mercy? Another thing that happened, Barbara, our first child, Isaiah's not our first child, is 6 months pregnant. Barbara lost a child. My wife sitting on the front seat. And I remember going to the ultrasound place, and they said something's wrong. The nurse ran out. Barbara said something ain't right. The doctor called us to his office. She said, your child is deceased. So my wife, I don't know if any of you have ever lost a child. If you have, God bless you. And I'm praying that God bless you. It's a pain that nobody can describe. She had to deliver a child that we were not going to take home. And so she delivered a child. It was fully formed. We got to hold the child. But here's what funny happened. Here's how I learned the voice of God. The Lord spoke to me when we first had, when Barbara got pregnant, and said, you're going to have a boy. And he said, this is what I want you to name him. Every ultrasound that we took, the doctor said, you're having a girl. And I said, I don't know about that. I said, we're having a boy. She said, I've been doing this for years. I know what a girl looks like, and I know what a boy looks like. I said, all right. When the child was born, in that moment, the Lord said, Jason, I got you, and I don't want you to ever doubt my voice. It was an horrific time. Here's what I learned. The next time Barbara got pregnant, the Lord said, Jason, you're going to have another boy, and you're going to name him Isaiah. We got an 11-year-old sitting in the back because I learned to trust the voice of God. I can't explain what happened the first time, but this time, God kept me. I had major hoop dreams. I got any hoopers in the house, basketball players. I mean, you real hoopers. You play with me now, I'm going to foul you. I'm not going to fight you, but I'm going to foul you because I can't move. I thought I was going to Duke, play Division I basketball. My daddy crushed my dreams. He said, Jason, Coach K has called every player he's going to recruit. If they were going to recruit you by now, you would have heard from him. I said, no. He said, Jason, you're going to UTC on an academic scholarship. My hoop dreams were crushed. Best reality check I ever had. But anybody's life not turned out the way you thought it was going to turn out? If you'd have asked me at 18 where I would be, I thought I'd be living in a major city. I did not think I'd be pastoring the church in Christiana. I didn't think I'd be here now, but God had other plans. I was going through my garage the other day, and I was just thinking about how I thought my life would be different, and I found the awards I got in high school playing basketball. And the Lord said, Jason, look at those awards. He said, what are they for? I had an award for leadership. I had an award for defense. He said, you thought basketball was the end of your life. You thought it was what it was about. He said, basketball to show you who you are. He said, I showed you that you're a leader, and I showed you that you have the ability to defend people. God has a way of turning situations around and working them out for your good. I don't know who you are in here, but perhaps you thought your life would be in a different place than it is right now. But I want to encourage you that God will take your mess and produce a message that's greater than what you ever imagined. Anybody believe that in here? I finally cleaned my closet out the other day, and I was looking, and I found a key. It was the other key to Barbara's car. And I said, Barbara, I found the key to your car that we thought we would lose. We only had one, and I ain't paying $150 to get another one. So we just using that one. And I found the other one. And I said, I found it. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit said, Jason, you didn't found it. You didn't find it. You just rediscovered it. Many of you think you have lost some things in your life, and it's not going anywhere. I don't care how old you are. God wants you to rediscover your purpose. He wants you to rediscover the reason he created you. I don't care how many mistakes you made. Nothing is lost. Whatever God promised you, it's going to happen in Jesus' name. There's another picture up here. Anybody remember this car? It's a 1994 Nissan Maxima. My buddy from Tullahoma, when we were in school, had one with a tinted window and rim. Tinted windows and rims. My 20th birthday, he said, Jason, we're going on a road trip. I said, where are we going? He said, I met this girl in Ohio, and she went to school up there, and we're going to go on a road trip. We're taking my Maxima. I'm taking you up there for your 20th birthday. There was a whole lot about that car I wish he would have told me. We left Chattanooga. By the time we got to Bowling Green, that car got to acting up. It wouldn't switch gears. I said, hey, man, what's wrong with your car? He said, my transmission been acting up, but it acted good for a while, so I thought everything was fine. I said, you got me on a road trip in a car with a transmission that don't work? He said, yeah. He said, I need you to work your magic. I said, man, I'm not no mechanic. He said, I ain't talking about that. He knew that I prayed before I did anything. He thought I was the weirdest dude in the world because I prayed for everything. And I've been praying for God for an opportunity so I can pray for him. He said, I need you to go lay your hands on my hood so this transmission will work. So I did what any normal 20-year-old did. I took my hands, I lifted that hood, and I said, Father, I grew up in church, and they told me you were a doctor that never lost a patient. They told me you were a lawyer that never lost a case. I don't know what you know about transmissions, but I know you created Nissan. You created in parts. So I'm believing you by faith right now. This transmission is going to roll in Jesus' name. I got back in the car, and he said, you do your thing. I said, I did my thing. He began to drive, and the transmission began to work. I said, see, I told you my God is a healer. I told you my God can bring us through. So guess what we did? We did what any normal 20-year-old would do that's responsible, that loves God and loves their family and wants to be safe, who did not have a cell phone in the day of, y'all remember pay phones? Y'all remember calling cars? The Bell South gave you a number and you put it in at the end of your thing. We did like any normal 20-year-old would do with a calling card. We kept going. We didn't go back to Chattanooga. We started out to go to Dayton, and guess what? We ended up in Dayton, and we drove all the way there. Somebody say we drove all the way there. We got there, and the transmission worked fine. We came back, and the transmission was working smooth. He said, I don't know if we're going to make it back, Jay. I said, you don't know my God. I said, your transmission going to work. Gonna work. 2 days later, when we got back to Chattanooga, his car fell apart. I said, I can get you there and back, but I can't make it work all the time. Isn't it amazing how God will cover you in your foolishness and in your dumb decisions when you didn't have enough nerve at 80 miles an hour because we didn't drive slow driving down the road? If that transmission would have messed up, an 18-wheeler could have knocked us off the road, but God covered us in our foolishness. Anybody glad for the grace and mercy of God? All those times you drove home drunk, all those one-night stands, all that stupid stuff that you did, you're sitting here right now. Why? Because God kept you. I'm not crazy. I've not lost my mind because of what happened, because of the grace and the mercy of God. Somebody ought to be glad for that. Oh, because some of y'all look at your face, you could fight. You fight because the wind blew the wrong way. And you're glad the Lord didn't let you run across somebody who didn't believe in fighting, who believed in shooting. Some of you have been shot at. Some of you got home and don't even know how you got home from places. Some of you have dated people and you said, Lord, I dodged a bullet there. Some of you, God has kept you in crazy situations. Some of you have lost jobs. You've lost loved one, and you're still here. And out of all the things that you've been through, you still have hope. You still have your joy. So every time I see a Nissan Maxima, my hands go up. They may think I'm waving at them, but God, in my spirit, I said, we could have died in that trip. We ain't have enough sense to go back home, but God, you kept us. The last thing that I learned how God will keep you when you ain't got enough sense to keep yourself, that's a man's sleep. We had the craziest dog. It was a black cocker spaniel that you ever meet. I knew the dog was crazy because his eyes did funny stuff. They wouldn't look at you straight. One would go this way, and mama said, there's something wrong with this dog. I was a miniature dog whisperer, so I thought I can get dogs to act right. My back was messed up, so I slept on the floor, and I said, Mama, I'm going to get the dog to sleep with me, and the dog going to be all right. All I know is in the middle of the night, I felt my mama tap me on my shoulder and say, get on the couch. She gave me another pillow and another blanket, and I woke up and said, why am I on the couch? She said, last night while you were asleep, the dog's name was Buttons. She said, Buttons had diarrhea, and diarrhea'd all over the blanket you were laying on. It was smelled so bad that it woke me up in my sleep, and you didn't smell a thing. She said, I put you on the couch. I don't know what she did with the dog, but she threw the blanket away. And from that, the Lord showed me. He said, Jason, sometimes you don't have enough sense to get yourself out of mess. That I will raise people up in your life that'll see danger around you and tell you, I wouldn't date him, I wouldn't date her, I wouldn't go there, I wouldn't do this. Every teenager and young adult that still got a parent in your life that got good sense, you ought to tell God, thank you. You may not understand what they're saying, but I thank God for people who open up my eyes to dangers seen and unseen. I am 41 years old, and I still ain't smelt that mess that was on that blanket. Sometimes God will cover you because you're connected to the right people. And sometimes God will speak truth that don't make no sense to you. Why are you telling me to do this? But I guarantee you, if you trust them, things will work out for your good. Here I was, covered in mess and had no idea. Some of you sitting in here today,
covered in mess. No idea of the potential. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you the reality of life. But today, God's throwing you a lifeline. God's saying there's purpose, there's potential on the inside of you, and life that you're experiencing right now is not everything that that you're going to be experiencing. There's some great things ahead of you. I gave you 6 stories of my life just for this. Can somebody give me the thing? When everybody walked in, I want you to pull this out. You should have received a plastic bag. Do you have that? Anybody have that friend where you play name that time? I had a buddy from Atlanta. Him and another one of his buddies when I was in college. They used to ride around crazy, jokers. Talking about how they used to drive around Atlanta, listen to Outkast all day getting high. And they talk about all the stuff. I said, hi, y'all were driving? Said, yeah. Many of you have times that you remember with people. I want to show you that you're closer to God than what you've ever think. I'm going to challenge you to do this first by yourself, then I want you to do it with people. I want you to name a time. It's at the bottom of your sheet that you know God spoke to you without a shadow of doubt. And you're going to be familiar with that voice. I want you to name a time that you experienced the grace of God. I had my Nissan Maxima experience, but some of you have had other experiences that God had kept you. I want you to name a time that you experienced the mercy of God. You experience it if you're saved because Jesus took your sin, but a time where God withheld something you deserved. I want you to think of a time where life didn't go the way you thought it was going to go, and you got frustrated. But through that frustrating moment, God showed you what you were good at. He showed you who you were. And what Satan meant for your evil, God turned it around for your good. I want you to name a time that God healed you and restored you. And I want you to name a time that God showed you he cared and gave you hope. That's my challenge for all of you this week, that you go have a seat with God. God's going to show you things about yourself over your life that he's been there. And I want to challenge you to deepen your relationship with him through Jesus Christ, because he's the one that provided you a great seat. Let me tell you about the seat that God gave you. Ain't no obstructed views. I've been in some horrible seating in my life. I've been to basketball games where I sit at the top and one where I sit on the front row. Ain't nothing like having a good view. When you sit with God, he'll give you a great view of life. Nothing that will be in your way from seeing everything that God wants you to see. I want to challenge you to come sit with him. If you don't mind, stand to your feet all over the building. If you don't mind bowing your head. If you're in here today, we've been talking about this seat. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The sit with God that Jesus provides. You're seated with Jesus. There's a way of life that's greater than any sin, any struggle. And we have this thing that said, when I get my life together, when I stop doing this, when I stop doing that, I'm going to give my heart to God. Listen, you can't stop. If you would have, could have, you would have by now. God said, come to me as you are, and I'll give you rest. Come have a seat. I want to tell you about me. I want to tell you about you. If you're in a day and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he said, I want to give God my heart. I want to end of all my sins. He said, all I want you to do is very simple.
The altar.
I just want you to slip your hand up.
Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was brought with precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come to the altar. Father's arms open wide. Forgiveness was brought
with
the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
You said that for the first time. You committed welcome to the family.
Yes.
Thank you for having a seat with us. Life will never be the same for you. I want to challenge you, if you already know God, to strengthen your walk with him. Take that paper and sit down with God. Find your Bible. Search his word. God wants to show you things beyond what you ever imagined. In Jesus' name, amen. Do me a favor before we move on. Just find the 3 people, shake their hand, and tell them Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to me.